Speaking of Tom Brady being in Tampa, Dick Vitale is there as well. It's his home, and he joins us right now, the Hall of Famer, on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line. Mr. Vitale, always an honor and a pleasure, sir.
Mr. Vitale, wow. Cellini and D'Amino, two paisans calling me Mr. Vitale. Hey, where I grew up with my paisans, they would never call me Mr. Vitale. Say, hey, dude, what you doing? What's going on?
Hey, Dick, at what age did you have to tell guys like us that it's not Mr.? Because it is interesting having an opportunity to speak to a lot of guys over the years. Vince Scully's one of those guys. If you call him Mr. Scully, he actually gets upset. What point do you think you noticed I don't necessarily need to or want to be known as Mr. Vitale?
You know, I don't know really when that happened, but bottom line is, you know, I believe we're going to be friends. We are friends. You call me by my name, Dick, or whatever you want to call me, but not Mr. Vitale. That's too formal. That makes me sound too old, too, because I'm a young guy, man. I'm only about 25 mentally. Physically, I feel about 14. Emotionally, I feel about 95.
So what's your withdrawal right now with the NCAA basketball tournament now going on?
You know, I'm bored out of my mind, you know, but there's bigger things to worry about than basketball right now. Obviously, with this coronavirus, I mean, our health and safety of people really is the number one priority. This thing just seems out of control. I just pray every day. And our religion, guys, St. Jude, is the, when you go there, times that are really tough. And I've been praying my heart out to St. Jude to be able to end this because it's causing a nightmare. There's so many people losing jobs like crazy, businesses in a fold, stock market going down like it has, just causing people all kinds of grief across this nation. And, you know, lives. I mean, obviously, look at the lives. And every day you see the numbers going up and up. And when testing becomes really available for everyone, it's going to really, really have numbers that are up there. But let's hope it reaches a peak and it just comes to an end.
Dick Vitale, the Hall of Famer, with us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line. Sports is an escape. We all know that. And I know down in your area of the world, a lot of Tampa fans have to be happy now that Mr. Brady has officially put pen to paper.
Well, you know, obviously I went wild. I had to put up a thing on Twitter, a video of me, you know, demonstrating how excited I was as a season ticket holder. And, man, that thing got a lot of views and a lot of hits. We're excited down here. I mean, I couldn't get my tickets away last year, Chris and Nick. I've been a season ticket holder for years, and I try to give them away. And people, oh, I don't want to go. I don't want to go through that hassle. And, well, right now I can tell you this. I've already got guys, a buddy of mine owns a restaurant, says, Dick, I can get some free meals, man, for those tickets. Yeah, it's real. He's thrown touchdown passes. I did another video yesterday. I said, you know, I actually had a football. I'm looking at it right now in my office. John Gruden had given me, after they won the Super Bowl, an autographed football, not the game football, but he gave me an autographed football. And I did a thing, make him believe I'm throwing a pass. And I said, come on, Brady and Bruce Arians, I want another football on my shelf, man. And the Super Bowl's here in Tampa. Tom Brady to Michael Evans, and the Bucks win the Super Bowl. I'm telling you, he's got some weapons to throw to. Godwin is terrific. The kid from Alabama is going to be a terrific tight end. He started to show that potential last year. Howard, they got Evans, who's as good as any. They got to get a good running back. You mentioned Gurley. Did he sign with somebody?
He signed here with the Falcons, pending physical, 1-year deal. Yep.
Oh, wow. I was wondering, because the Bucks need a running back. We need a running back badly, so I hope they get a good running back, because Tom Brady, you know, I'm not a football expert in any stretch of the imagination, but if you watch him and watch him play, he likes to throw those little short passes to the backs coming out of that backfield, then we got to get somebody that can do that and catch it. Maybe get one of his former guys. He played with a guy, I remember when he played with the Patriots, a guy he really seemed to like, is a guy named Dion Lewis. I don't know where he's at, if he's a free agent or whatever, but I hope he gets somebody he's comfortable with, because really, I'm excited. I can't wait to see them play. I talked to the president of the Bucks yesterday, Brian Ford, who does a great job, and he's had a tough job trying to market. He doesn't have a tough job now, man. They are begging and pleading with him.
Hey, Dick, the idea that if you wanted to make up whatever it is you paid in your season tickets, it's when the Saints come into town, because it might only be, realistically, it might only be 1 year, two games in a regular season that Breeze and Brady go at it, but we asked yesterday when we knew this was going to happen. Arguably, it could be the greatest two quarterbacks standing on a field playing a football game in the history of the game.
Yeah, it could be. You know, I mean, some people argue that. I know my son-in-law loves Rodgers and loves his boy Montana, but, you know, you can get in the argument there, that's for sure. Conversation. I don't think there's any argument. I'll battle anybody there's no argument who's the greatest of all time. I mean, come on. Number 12, what he's done, 17 divisional titles, 6 Super Bowls, been in 9 in his career. Unbelievable. MVPs all over. To me, it's a no-brainer. What do you guys think?
It's tough to go against what you just said. I know that much.
I like that. I like you. You must eat the same rigatoni I do.
You know, the Montana thing is the one because he's 4-0, and, you know, that number, when you don't have a loss, when the zero in the loss column comes up, it's hard. But at the end of the day, you also have to figure out how much has the game changed in the X amount of years. It's really interesting about him. He's certainly not the most talented guy to ever play the position. I don't even know where, if you could do that barometer, where you would actually put him. You're a baseball fan. We'll talk about the Rays in a second. But the people who say there's no such thing as a clutch gene, it drives me crazy. It's all about numbers. It's all about analytics. It's ridiculous. There are certain guys that are just built for bigger moments. This guy is one of those guys who's built for bigger moments. That's an immeasurable in my mind.
Absolutely. I mean, there's certain things you said. You know, the LeBron James of the world, the Michael Jordans of the world, the Larry Birds of the world. Those guys live for that moment, Magic Johnson. I mean, they live for those moments. Great hitters in baseball. Can't wait to Hank Aaron's of the world to get in that batter's box when a game is on the line. They look for that. They have that special adrenaline that kicks in that makes them so unique. I'll be very honest with you, though. As thrilled as I am, thrilled as can be that Tom Brady's going to be here and put some value to my season tickets and must of all give us a chance to maybe have. Because I'm going to tell you, last year, Bruce Arians, he can coach, man. He is great with players. He has a great mind offensively. Last year, that team easily, I'm telling you, easily, I don't know what they finished. Did they finish what did they finish? I think 8-8, maybe 9-7. I don't remember the exact number. But the bottom line is they could have been 11-5. They missed a field goal at the end of the game, a short chip shot to beat the Giants. That was a loss. They should have definitely had a W. There was a couple others. Unbelievable.
Well, Dick, here's the number. You lost 6 games by 7 or fewer points, and Jameis Winston had 18 turnovers in those games.
Wow, yeah. Well, the point I was going to make is this. You're going down the field. You're going down the field for a touchdown to break the game open, to put the game away, and all of a sudden it's a pick 6 the other way. That's deflating to a team. That's unbelievable to the morale of the players on the field. And let me say something else in defense of Jameis Winston. Everybody's got this kid, you know, nah, he can't do this. There's all these turnovers, 30 turnovers. People forget the 33 touchdown passes. They forget the 5,200 yards. They forget that he's 26 years old. He's made mistakes off the field. There's no question. But I think that's history. Last time I spoke to him, he told me about having a baby, and now things have changed. And I really hope and pray that somebody, what are you hearing in the grapevine? Anybody going to give him a shot?
Not as a starter. It doesn't seem that way based on what's being talked about right now.
And Cam Newton's going to be out on the street because they might have to release him if they can't trade him. You know, it's like a game of musical chairs. You might actually have fewer chairs than bodies. And the good news is,
I'll tell you this.
Ryan Tannehill is the good news for guys like this. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. If change of scenery and new life and just having an opportunity to go get back into a football game could be the thing that turns it for him.
Well, you know, I was interviewed by a guy I have so much respect for just yesterday. I've been did 11 radio shows, I think, in the last day or two. But I was interviewed by Peter King. Peter King called me up, and he's a brilliant mind, comes to the NFL. And he gave me some good scenario. He said, don't be shocked. He basically feels a team that would come after a guy like Winston because he's young and he's talented. Nobody can question the kid is talented. And I'm going to tell you, he said the Steelers. He said Big Ben's got, what, a year maybe to go? He gets injured a lot. That he'd be a great to go there as a backup and then get an opportunity and take advantage of it. Because I'm telling you, he's got to have a little chip on his shoulder now to prove to people, hey, man, his problem is, he thinks he's too good, and he tries to throw the ball so many times in traffic where there's no place to throw the ball. But yet they feel – Brett Favre had a little bit of that in him, but he didn't do it as much like Winston. But they feel they can jam that ball in between two defensive backs and get that first down or whatever, and many times that backfires. You got no one to eat that football.
Dick Vitale with us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line. I know that Rick Pitino, when he took the job at Iona, referenced you. Do you think this is his final stop?
Absolutely. I don't have any doubt about it. I know this for a fact. okay? I noticed for a fact his buyout is unbelievable. Let's put it this way. When he was at Louisville, he made like about $7 million a year, and his buyout was like $1 million. Over here at Iona, I mean, they're going to hire him and have him leave after 1 year. So he said, put the buyout you want because I'm going nowhere. And the buyout's like, I don't know exactly. It's like, maybe I'm exaggerating a little, $10 to $15 million buyout for a guy that's making about $1 million a year tops. Not only is he making $1 million, he don't care about the money now. He don't really, when I think of Rick Pitino, he made some mistakes. We all know that. His biggest mistake he made was people that he hired. He made some bad hires after making great hires when he got basketball people like Billy Donovan to be an assistant. People right go down the line, the guys he had were unreal. Tubby Smith, Van Gundy's, the Willards. I could go on and on. But then all of a sudden he wanted to get players, AAU, hires guys, and it backfired. I will take to my grave. Take to my grave that he had nothing to do with that scenario that went on over at with the strippers and all that jazz that some assistant coach who disappeared after he did it was involved in. And then the situation with Kim Bowen with $100,000. He knew nothing about it. In fact, guys that went to prison on the wiretaps with the government stated emphatically, if you listen to those things and you hear what was said or read what they said, actually, They exonerated him. He said he knew nothing about anything, but he became the poster boy. Soon as they saw the name Louisville with the kid Bowen, immediately his name up in headlines. Obviously, though, as a coach, you got to be, and he said, I deserve to be fired now, he says, at Louisville, because the fact of the matter is I'm the head coach, and it's my job who I hired, and, you know, if they don't do something properly, I got to go. That's why it always amazes me when we got guys coaching now. Assistant coaches have been sent to prison. Assistant coaches cheating all over. And bottom line is they're still coaching. In fact, they win. They get extensions on their contract.
Well, there's still more to come. We just don't know when it's going to happen when it comes to college basketball. We've never done this with you, I don't think, in all the time that we've had you on. I'm going to give you the name of a guy. Tell us the one or two or three words that come to mind.
What I want now? I didn't hear last
song. I'm going to give you the name of a guy. You tell us the first two or three words that come to mind. Like, what do you most want to associate with the guy? Calipari.
Motivator.
Pitino.
Inspiration and toughness.
Jim Calhoun.
Teacher.
Tom Izzo.
Father.
Mike Krzyzewski.
Oh. Loves people.
There you go. Did you know John Wooden at all?
Yeah.
What do you think of when you think of Wooden?
John Wooden? Oh, a wizard. Just absolutely, you know, I got the first recipient of the John Wooden Award in terms of he has the Pyramid of Success. And I was one of the first in sports to receive. In fact, I'm looking at it in my office right now, Pyramid of Success Award, Coach Wooden. I was one time, I got a great story with Coach Wooden. This is years ago. I think it was American Express. I'm almost positive it was them. I can try to remember years ago. But they hired Coach Wooden and myself for some appearance on a Final Four. So I'm in a golf cart with Coach Wooden, my wife, my daughter, two daughters, and we're all ecstatic, you know, going here. And as we pull up to this unbelievable crowd outside at one of the Final Fours, and there's a big banner, Dickie V with Coach John Wooden. I said to the guy, get that damn thing down, man. Are you crazy? I said, Dickie V? I should be Coach Wooden with Dickie V. Are you? Wow. He was so special, man. He just had a great feel for the game. He just had a great feel for people. And he really just was a just beautiful man to be around. I used to love being around him. Some of the things he has said to me was, you know, I'll never forget one time he said, too many people worry about everybody else, Dick. He said, they don't just concentrate basically on doing the best they can do with their job, but they worry about what everybody else does. And he says, they'd be so much better off just concentrating and how true that is. And I'll tell you something else about Coach Wooden. That's a thrill for me. And again, it's in my office here. When I was up for the Hall of Fame, I got rejected three times. I was X'd out. You know, the Hall of Fame in basketball in the Naismith was basically all NBA, very little college guys. So when I was nominated three times as a contributor to the game of basketball, I got shot down. One day my phone rings. It's Bob Knight. Dick, you know, Bob, I'm going to tell you, when we talk to Bob Knight, you just listen. Hey, Dick, I want you to know something. I see you're nominated again. You're going to be shot down again because those guys had few words in the air that I can't use on radio right now. And he says, he goes on and on. He said, well, I want you to know something. I did something on my own. I said, what'd you do? He said, I wrote it. Bobby said, you shouldn't do that. Don't do that. Don't you tell me what to do. Are you kidding me? I'm just telling you what I did. You understand? And I'll tell you this. There were a few other words thrown in with that. And you just listen. He said, I wrote every living coach that's in the Hall of Fame. And I asked them if they would write a letter on your behalf, how it's a crime to have that kind of a title contributed to the game and not have you in there for what you've done for college basketball. So he said, your Hall of Fame is going to be all the letters that I mail you from all these coaches, handwritten, many of them. Unbelievable. I got one, John Wooden, handwritten, to the Hall of Fame. Something to the effect, paraphrasing, obviously, dear whoever the guy was in charge, there's no way you could have such and such without having Dick Vitale in there. Dick Vitale's brought more enthusiasm, on and on. I was so blown away. And then Bob sent all the letters to the committee, I guess, or to whoever's in charge, saying if these people don't count, these are the fabric of what your Hall of Fame is, there's something wrong. Well, I got in that year. So whenever I try to thank Bob, I don't want to hear it. I don't need to thank you. I did it because it was the right thing to do. I mean, so there's sides of people that a lot of times people don't see that side of people.
So were you shocked he ended up back at Indiana?
Living there, you mean?
As in he
just going
he
back
made
to the
appearance.
Arena yeah. to celebrate with his team.
Oh, yeah, no, I was at his house the day before for 2.5 hours at his house, and, you know, there's been a number of times I was, you know, pleading with him to get back there, and, you know, finally I'm so happy that Quinn Buckner and his guys did a great job of convincing his son and his wife to make it happen, to get him there for that moment, and it was great to see. I mean, you could see the emotion, the passion the players had. It was what a turnout of players came out in his support, and it was great to see. So, again, all I can simply say it's a time of his life that people got to understand going through a tough, tough time.
Dick Vitale with us for a couple of more minutes on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line. In general, I know that college basketball is not in the place guys like you would want it to be. How do they make it right again?
Well, you know, you mean the fact that we don't have the tournament? There was no choice that the...
Well, no, not the tournament, just the reputation of college basketball. It doesn't seem to be where it was at one time.
Well, you know, the bottom line, we had all those scandals that came out, the hoop scandals, the cheating that's been going on, and all those things are not good for the game. I think what the game needs is a czar. We need somebody up there who represents basketball to work hand-in-hand with the NCAA, whether it be on rule violations, whether it be on scholarships, whether it be recruiting, whatever. But we need a czar in there to help to remedy some of the dilemmas that go on. I mean, let's face it, in every profession, I don't care what it is, medicine, law, broadcasting, whatever. You got people that always want that winner's edge and take a risk many times, risk their lives, risk their... We have people we read about, the big scandal that went on with people getting in school where people are paying major, major dollars and coaches in situations fraudulently making believe the kid was an athlete and taking cash and trying to get him admitted to the school, saying, oh yeah, I was recruiting him and the kid never played a day in his life. So there's always people looking for an edge. But nobody talks about the 90%. That do things the right way, but there's always a percent that go off the tracks, and it's in every profession. So we got to try to promote the positives, what people are doing, like the Thomases of the world, the Krzyzewskis of the world, people doing things the right way, because you can win the right way. You can win the right way.
I don't want to set you off, but this idea that the Tampa Rays might actually spend time in Montreal, would you cancel your tickets if that ever happened?
Absolutely. You can take that to the bank. They know my feelings. I've had them publicized. There's no way in the world. I've bought season tickets now since the inception. So that's over 20 years. And tickets are expensive. And four tickets, and we've spent a lot of money over the 20 years. I don't know how much it comes to. Maybe $500,000, probably at least. I don't know, $25,000, $30,000 a year. And there's no way I'm going to support a team that's half of the year is going to play in another city. I mean, there's just no way. I'll go back to my roots. When I was a kid, before I came here, I was a big Yankee fan. I'll go back to the pinstripes. That's simple as can be. They train in Fort Lauderdale. They train rather in Tampa here.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what do you guys think? First of all, if I'm a player, would I want to be in that environment where I'm gonna, my family uprooted half the season here, their kids in school? How do you handle that?
It's nuts.
It's so amateur sounding. Yeah. It's like not even possible. This is Major League Baseball. It sounds like something goofy that somebody would say half drunk at a bar. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, my God, is somebody really considering this?
Well, I didn't like the comments out of the guy that owns the club or who will own the club. Wanted to bring it to Montreal. Brofman, I guess his name is. His father had the team years ago. But his quote was in the paper. A couple of fans here went ballistic with his quote. Oh, you can't compare Montreal with what's here in Tampa. Oh, really? Want to see some of our beaches? Want to see some of the things we do have? Come on. Now, we need a new stadium. There's no doubt about it. We need a new stadium. And we need a stadium with a roof on it, without a doubt. They're talking about if they go to split routine with Montreal, they're going to build or expand on a stadium and with no roof. I mean, come on. You can't play here with that. I'm very upset about that. They do a great job. The one thing I will definitely say, Stu Sternberg cares about baseball. And, you know, in a way, the fans, we blame ourselves in a way. Where was the support? I mean, they've given us teams won 96 games last year. 96 games. And they're games with 7,000, 8,000 people. Come on. I mean, that now, if they want to move and take the team somewhere else, I could sit there and say, you know what? I don't blame them in a way because they're businessmen. It's all about finances, about dollars. But to split the season is crazy. But we got to get fans in the building, man. If we want them to stay here, we got to prove it. Because I'll tell you one thing. If they go to split routine, you know what's going to happen? Montreal is going to pack it every day.
Right. You can't beat that. You can't beat that.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Can I do a shameless plug, but for a reason? I got a podcast out that you said you're a Yankee fan. So I got a podcast, and I don't know if you listen to them or not, but it's called Hardball Podcast. And episode 2 is Rizzuto, and episode, I think, 9 is Whitey Ford. So I don't know how often you get a chance, if you have a little bit of downtime with all the stuff that you are still doing, to listen. But if you're a Yankee fan and you sort of want firsthand accounts, it might be something that might end up somewhere in the back of your playlist.
I loved the Yankees for years when those guys were there before they got into all this free agency stuff and guys leaving. Oh, my God. My cousin and I used to battle. First of all, I used to love the Red Sox. Oh, my God. I was a Red Sox crazy when Ted Williams played and those guys. Come on, Dom DiMaggio, I mean, Zeke Cirilla, Mel Parnell on the mound. I mean, are you kidding me? Bobby Dorr, Johnny Pesky, you're bringing back memories to me, man. Then came Billy Goodman, and Dobson. I used to love the Red Sox. Then after they got beat so often, I said, screw the Red Sox, I'm going for a winner. I went for the Yankees. Hey, guys, I got to wrap it
all
up.
Right, Dick.
I need a T.O., baby. Thanks a lot. Domino, my guy, along with my guy. Cellini. Oh, my God. Cellini and Domino and Vitale. Sounds like an Italian construction company.
Indeed. Dick Vitale, always a pleasure.
Take care, buddy.
Thanks, Dick.
Hall of Famer Dick Vitale with us on the Loud Security Systems News Maker Line. I think we pretty much covered everything there is to cover with
God.
Dick Vitale. And then some.
Yeah, short of asking who he likes in esports.
He mentioned Gurley. Did he sign with somebody?
He did. We even updated Dick Vitale.
You just gave him a sports update.
Indeed.
A personal sports update.
When we come back.
What's that stuff that Mike Tyson's making money on?
Cameo.
You should do Cameo sports updates for individuals.
I'll do anything for cash. You know that.